Shvi, loisa'ashoik, you may not cheat and hold back the wages of sachir, a hired worker, oni the evyoin, who is a poor person. Although the pasuk said already in Parashas Kedoshim, loisa'ashoik esreyacha, you may not hold back the wages of your friend, this pasuk is coming to add an additional lav if you hold back the wages of an oni the evyoin, a poor person. Me'achecha, you may not hold back the wages from your brother, oi migerecha, or from your ger, asher ba'artzecha, that is in your land, bisharecha, in your cities. And Rashi tells us that the word bisharecha is coming to teach us that not only are you not allowed to hold back the wages of a ger tzedek, but even of a ger toshav. A ger toshav is a goy that you allow to live in Eretz Yisrael, because according to one man the Omar, he accepts upon himself not to worship Avodah Zarah, and according to another man, the Omar, he accepts upon himself the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So not only may you not hold back the wages of a Ger Tzedek, but the word Bisharecha is coming to include even a Ger Toshav. And since it says, Asher Ba'artzecha, that is in your land, we learn out that not only may you not hold back the wages of a worker, but you also may not hold back the fee for a rental of Behema V'Kelem. B'yoymai, on his day, Titein Schoroi, you shall give him his wages, and the sun shall not set before you pay him. And in Parashas Kedoshim, where the pasuk says, you must pay your worker by the morning, that is talking about a schir yoim, one who worked during the day. There you have until the next morning to pay him. However, our pasuk is discussing one who worked at night. He must be paid before the setting of the sun on the following day. And you must pay this worker on time, ki anihu, because he is poor, ve'elov hu noisei es nafshoi, and for his wages he risks his life. He will climb a ladder, and he will hang from a tree just to do his work to get paid. Ve'lo yikra olecha el Hashem, you shall pay him in order that he does not call out against you to Hashem, v'hoyo v'chochet, and there will be in you a sin. In any event, if you do not pay him, there will be in you a sin. However, if he calls out against you to Hashem, then Hashem will punish you quicker. Zok Rashi Pasuk Yudalid, Loisa'a Sheik Sochir, do not hold back the wages of a worker. Frik Rashi, Vahloi Kfarksiv, didn't the Pasuk already say in Parshas Kedoshim, Loisa'a Sheik Esreyacho? Elo Lavar Lo Evyoin Bishnei Lavim. This Pasuk is coming to add an additional lav, a second lav, for one who holds back the wages of a poor person. And when the Pasuk says, Loisa'a Sheik Sochir Oni Ve Evyoin, the Pasuk means, Loisa'a Sheik Sichar Sochir, do not hold back the wages of a hired worker. Shehu oni the evyon, this hired worker is a poor person. Ve'al ha'oshir kvar huzar, and on a wealthy person, the pasuk already warned us in Parshas Kedoshim, le'sa'ashrik esreyacha, do not cheat your friend. So this pasuk is coming to add an additional lav on cheating somebody who is poor. Zok Rashi evyon, the word evyon comes from the word to'av, to desire. He is so poor, ha'to'av l'chol davar, he desires anything, because he has nothing. And Rashi in Parashas Re'eh, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Dalet told us that an Evyoin is poorer than an Ani. And the Pasuk says, you shall not hold back the wages migerecha from your ger, zeger tzedek, that is referring to a ger tzedek, bisharecha, in your cities, zeger toshav, this is coming to include not to hold back the wages from a ger toshav, ha'oichal nevelois, a ger toshav eats nevelois. And really, like we mentioned earlier, there is a machlokes what exactly a ger toshav observes. According to one man, the Omar, he only observes not to worship Avodah Zarah, and he does not keep any of the other mitzvahs. According to another man, the Omar, he only keeps the Zayin mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and everything else he does not keep. However, there is another man, the Omar, who says that he keeps all mitzvahs, except he eats nevelos. So Rashi, who says ha'oichal nevelos, that a ger toshav eats nevelos, is saying something that everybody would agree to. Because according to every man de Omar, a ger toshav at least eats neveles. That is the minimum amount of isurim that he does. Zok Rashi asher ba'artzecha, in your land, and Rashi is bothered that the pasuk cannot be saying that one may not cheat somebody only in your land, only in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, asher ba'artzecha must be telling us something else. The rabbis, it is coming to include sechar behema v'kelim, you may not hold back the fee for rental of an animal and vessels. Ve'elov, and to him who noisei es nafshoi, he risks his life. What does ve'elov to him mean? Zok Rashi el haschar hazeh, to these wages, who noisei es nafshoi lomos, he risks his life to die. Ola bekevesh, he will climb on a ramp, v'nitlo be'ilon, and hang from a tree, just to do his work in order to get paid. V'hoyo v'chochet, and there will be in you a sin. Mikol makom, no matter what, if you do not pay him, you will receive a sin. Elo only shememaharin li poreya al yidei hakarei. Hashem will punish quicker if the ani will call out against you. And the pasuk continues, layumisu avois, fathers will not be put to death in bezdin abonim because of the testimony of their children. Uvanim layumisu, and children will not be put to death in bezdin al avois because of the testimony of their fathers. Testimony of one relative against another is not a valid testimony. And then the pasuk speaks about miso bidei shamayim. Ish b'cheta yumasu, each person will die bidei shamayim because of his own sin. One person will not die because of the sin of his friend. A father will not die because of the sin of his children, and a child will not die because of the sin of his father. And Rashi tells us, since the pasuk says ish b'cheta yumasu, we learn out that this only applies to ish, an adult. An adult will not be punished for his father's sin. However, a katan, a minor, will be punished bidei shamayim for his father's sin. And although the pasuk says in Parashas Kisisa, Poiked avoin ovois, al bonim, val bnei bonim, al shileishim vi al ribeim, Hashem remembers averus from father to son for four generations. That is only kisha oiches maase avoiseim biyadehem, when the son also does the same averus as his father did. Then he is also punished for his father's averus. Our pasuk is speaking where he does not commit the averus that his father committed, then he is only punished for his own sins. Zok Rashi lo yimsu avos abonim, fathers do not die because of their children. Be'edus banim, this means because of the testimony of their children. Ve'im tamer, and if you will want to say va'avoin banim, that the pasuk that says lo yimsu avos abonim means that fathers are not put to death because of their sons' sins. Kfar nemar, that is the end of the pasuk. Ish becheta yumasu, each person will die because of his own sin. So the beginning of the pasuk is telling us that fathers are not punished because of the testimony of their children. And since the pasuk says ish b'cheta yumasu, we learn out ish v'loy katan. Avo misha enoi ish, somebody who is not an ish, somebody who is not an adult. Meis b'avoin aviv, will die because of his father's sins. And that is why ketanim meisim, minors die, b'avoin avoisom bidei shamayim, with the averus of their father, a misa bidei shamayim. And the pasuk continues, loisata mishpat ger yosoim, you may not pervert the judgment of a ger or an orphan. And although the pasuk had already taught us this in Parashas Shoftim when it says Loisata Mishpat, this pasuk is coming to add an additional lav for perverting the judgment of a poor person, a ger and a yosaim who typically are poor. And you shall not take as a mashkin a garment of a widow. At the time of the loan, you may take a beged almono as a mashkin. However, later on, when she does not pay up her loan, you may not take a beged almono as a mashkin. V'zacharta, and you shall remember, ki eved ha'yisa b'mitzrayim, that you were a slave in the land of Mitzrayim, v'yiftecha Hashem alekecha misham, and Hashem redeemed you from there, on the condition to keep his mitzvahs, even though sometimes there will be a chisaron kis, a loss of money by keeping the mitzvahs. Al kein anochi mitzavecho la'asos es hadavar hazeh, that is why I am commanding you to do this thing. I am commanding you not to take a beged almona as a mashkin, even though this might cause you a loss of money that you will not be able to collect your choiv. Still, I am Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim on this condition, to keep my mitzvahs, even though there will be a chisaron kis. Zokt Rashi, Pasuk Yudzayin, Loisata Mishpat Ger Yosoim, Balo Osher Kvar Huzar. On a rich person, on a wealthy person, the Pasuk had already said in Parashat Shoftim, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Yutes, Loisata Mishpat, you shall not pervert the judgment. Bishana Ba'oni, and it is repeated by a poor person, Lavar Olav Bishnei Lavim, to add a second lav when one perverts the judgment of a poor person. Because it is easier to pervert the judgment of a poor person more than a wealthy person, because a poor person has nobody to stick up for him. That's why the Torah adds an additional lav for somebody who perverts the judgment of a poor person. And you may not take a beged almona as a mashkin, Zakrashi, Sheloi Bishas Havo, you may not take it, not at the time of the loan. At the time of the loan, you may take a beged almona as a mashkin, but later on, you may not take it. Zok Rashi v'zocharta, and you shall remember that I took you out of Mitzrayim. Amanas kein pitisicha, on this condition I redeemed you from Mitzrayim. Lishmar chukosai, to watch my chukim, afilu yesh chisaron kis badavar, even though this may cause you a loss of money. And the pasuk continues with the parsha of Shikha and Peah. Kisiksar kitzircho v'sodecho, when you will reap the harvest of your field, v'shochachta oimer basode, and you will forget a bundle in the field, You shall not go back to take it. Let it be for the ger, the orphan, and the widow. In order that Hashem your God will bless you, in all the work of your hand. And you will forget a bundle. Since it says Omer, it comes to teach us, not a godish, not a pile of grain. If one forgets a whole pile of grain, there is no din of shikha, and he may take it. Mikan Omru, from here Chazal said, Omer, a bundle, sheyesh boi sasayim, that is the size of tusa, hu shikhachai, and he forgets it. Eino shikha, it does not have the din of shikha. Because the Torah said, Omer, a bundle, a small bundle, but not a bundle that is the size of a godish, the size of a pile of grain. And a bundle that is tusa is the size of a godish, and such a bundle does not have the dinim of shikha. Zok Rashi basode in the field, and Rashi is bothered that the pasuk already said the word sade when it said ki siksar kitzircha bisadecha. Why does it have to repeat the word sade by saying vishochachta omer basode? Zok Rashi l'rabbi shikchas komo, it's coming to include forgetting the standing grain. Because we already know that if one forgets a bundle of tvua in the field, that is considered shikha. The pasuk is telling us that if one forgets to cut a certain part of the field, that is also considered shikha. Sheshochach miksasa miliksar, in a case where he forgot to cut a certain part of the field. Shikha does not only apply to omer, a bundle, but even to shikhas kama, forgetting to cut the standing grain. Lesoshav lekachta, you may not go back and take it. Mikan Amru, from here Chazal said, Shela'achorav shikha, that which is behind him is shikha. Shelefanov, that which is in front of him, Eino shikha, is not shikha. She'eino bebal toshuv, because it is not included in the lav of loisoshuv, you shall not go back. If one forgets a bundle and it is behind him, then it has the dinim of shikha, and it goes to the ger, yosam, and almono. However, if he forgets something that is in front of him, it does not have the din of shikha. Zok Rashi, leman yivarecha, in order that Hashem will bench you, even though this mitzvah came into his hand unintentionally, still Hashem will bless you. As the Gur Aryeh explains, not only is he blessed when he realized that he forgot a bundle in the field and did not go back to get it, he is also blessed in a situation where he never realized that he forgot the bundle in the field, and Anani supported himself with this bundle. So we see that one receives a bracha even on a mitzvah that he did unintentionally. Kal v'chomer, all the more so, la'oseh b'mischaven, somebody who does a mitzvah intentionally. Emor me'ata, say now, nafla sela miyodoi, if somebody drops a sela from his hand, umata, oni, and a poor person finds this sela, v'nisparnisba, and supports himself with this sela, harehu misbaruch aleho, he is blessed from Hashem for dropping this sela. Just like one who forgets a bundle in the field, and an oni supports himself from this bundle is blessed, so too, somebody who drops a sela, and an oni supports himself with this sela, he too will be blessed. And the pasuk continues, Kisach boit zeisecha, when you will beat your olive tree to knock down the fruits, to knock down the olives from the tree, loisefayer acharecha, you shall not take all the splendor of the field. You shall leave over some of the splendor to the poor, which means do not take all the fruits, but rather leave a corner of the field for peah. La ger, la yosem velo amono yihyeh, for the ger, the orphan, and the widow, it shall be. And the pasuk is telling us that not only is there a din of peah by tfuah, by grains, there is also a din of peah by fruit trees. And since the pasuk says acharecha, from that which is behind you, we learn out that shikha, which is forgotten behind you, also applies to fruit trees. Zot Rashi lo sefa'er, lo sitol tif'arto mimenu, you shall not take all of its glory from it. Mikan sheminichim peah le'ilon, from here we see that you should leave over peah by trees also. Not only by tfuah, but also by trees. Lo sefa'er, do not take all the splendor, do not take all of the fruit. Acharecha, from that which is behind you. Zu shikha, this is coming to include that shikha also applies to fruit trees. And the pasuk continues, ki sivtar karmecha, when you will harvest your vineyard, lo se'olah l'acharecha, you shall not take the young clusters from it, but rather, la'ger, la'yosem, v'lo'amon, yiyeh, you shall leave it to the poor, to the ger, the yosam, and the almono. Vizacharta, and you shall remember, ki evad yisa be'eretz Mitzrayim, that you were a slave in the land of Mitzrayim. Alkein anochi mitzavach alasos es hadavar hazeh, that is why I am commanding you to do this thing. Since I redeemed you from Mitzrayim, I redeemed you on the condition to keep my mitzvahs. Zok Rashi loisa oilel, im matzosa boy oilelois, if you find young clusters, loisi kochena, you shall not take it, but rather leave it for the poor. Ve'ezuhi oilois. And what are oilois? Kol she'ein lo loy kosef loy notof. A cluster that does not have kosef or notof, which we will see in a second what that means. Yesh lo echem mehem. If it has one of them, it has kosef or it has notof. Harehu lebalabayas. Then it belongs to the balabayas. Ve'ro'isi be'gemara Yushalmis. And I saw in the Gemara Yushalmi, ezuhi kosef. What is kosef? Pasigin ze agav ze. Many small clusters growing on small branches off the main shoot that grow one on top of the other. There are many small branches of grapes that are lying next to each other, like one shoulder next to another. Natav, what is natav? Elu hatluyos beshedra viyardos. These are the grapes that are hanging from the main stem and fall down and drip down. So basically, oilos are young clusters that are not very full. They do not have the kosef, the branches of grapes that are lying next to each other, and they do not have those grapes dripping down from the main stem. Such clusters should be left for the poor. And the pasuk continues, Ki yihi ariv bein ho'anoshim, when there will be a dispute between men. And Rashi tells us, do not think that through the dispute, the two sides will gain clarity and settle the dispute by themselves. Rather, v'nigishu el mishpat, they will end up in court, u'shifatum, and the judges will judge them, v'tztiku es ha-tzadik, and they will prove the tzadik to be correct, v'hirshiu es ha-rasha, and they will find the rasha guilty. V'hoya, and it will be in bin ha-koysa rasha, if the rasha is liable for Malkus, if he was over a type of a lav that would be mechayev him Malkus, as Rashi will explain, it cannot be a lav ha-nitik la-say, and it also has to be a lav she-yesh by maisa, a lav that involves an action, not just speaking. And this person was evaluated that he is healthy enough to withstand the Malkus. Then v'hipilei ha-shefet, the judge will lean him over, v'hikohu lefanov, and he will hit him on the front part of his body, 1/3 of the Malkus, and 2/3 on his back. 13 Malkus on the front part of his body, and 26 on his back. Kidei rishasai, according to his wickedness, b'mispar arborim yakenu. In the number of 40, you shall hit him. Not exactly 40 Malkus, but rather the number that completes 40. The number before 40, 39 Malkus. La Yosef, you shall not give him more. Pen Yosef la koisei al eile makaraba, lest you hit him more blows than 39. V'nikla ochicha le'enecha, your brother will be degraded in your eyes. And Rashi tells us, not only is the Shliach Bezin that hits this person with 40 Malkus instead of 39 over this lav of La Yosef, so too, any person that hits his friend is over the lav of Lo Yosef. And the pasuk continues, Leisachsam shor bedishai, you shall not muzzle an ox while it is threshing. When an animal is engaged in work that involves food, you should not prevent it from eating while it works. Do not muzzle the ox while it is threshing. And so is true for all animals and birds. The Torah picks an ox because the Torah speaks of that which is more common, and working with an ox is the most common. And the Torah could have actually left out the word shor completely and said, Leisachsoim bidishai, do not muzzle in threshing. By the fact that the Torah uses the word shor, it comes to exclude a person. Because there is a mitzvah saseh that we learned earlier in Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Chavav, to allow a worker to eat from the produce with which he is working. However, the lav of our Pasuk does not apply to a person. There is an asay that we said earlier. However, by a person, the lav of leisachsoim does not apply, because we darshan shor v'loy odom, a shor and not a person. A person is not included in this lav. And although it is not only by the work of threshing that one may not muzzle his animal, it is even by other types of work. So why does the Torah specify threshing? Rashi tells us that Daish is coming to teach us what type of work is included in the asay mentioned earlier that allows a worker to eat while he is working. It must be a type of work similar to threshing. Just like threshing is done prior to the stage when the chiyuv meiser and challah take effect, because the chiyuv of meiser is at a later stage, after the winnowing, when the grain is gathered in a neat pile, and threshing is before that. Also, the chiyuv of challah is when the water is mixed with the flour, and threshing is done before that. So too, may the worker eat from the owner's crop only at a stage before the chiyuv of meiser and challah take effect. If the worker was kneading the dough, which is a stage after the chiyuv of challah had already taken place, he may not eat the dough. If the worker was separating figs and dates that were attached, which is at the stage after the chiyuv meiser already took place, he may not eat those figs and those dates. Also, Daish teaches us that he may only eat things that grow from the ground, similar to threshing that is done on gedule karka, on things that grow from the ground. However, if he was working with milk, for example, milking a cow or making cheese, since milk does not come from the ground and is not similar to Daish, he may not eat the cheese or drink the milk. And although this pasuk is speaking about an animal, it teaches us the guidelines of the Aseh concerning a person. Zokt Rashi ki yeriv, if there will be a dispute, seifam, their end will be liyois nigashim al hamishpat, they will have to come to court to settle their dispute, because they will not be able to settle it on their own. Emar me'ata, say now, ein shalom yoytze mitoich meriva. Peaceful settlements do not come out of a dispute, they have to settle it in court. Migarm l'loit lifresh minat tzadik, who caused Loit to separate from the tzadik Avram, haviyomer, say now, zu meriva, this was a dispute, the dispute between Avram's shepherds and Loit's shepherds. Zokt Rashi v'hirshiu es ha-rosha, and they will find guilty the Rosha. Yochol, I might be able to think. Kol ha-mischayev in bedin loikin, any person that is found guilty. Gets Malkis, Talmud Loimar, therefore the Pasuk says in Pasuk Beis, v'hoyo im bin ha-kois ha-rosha. It will be if they find this Rosha liable of Malkis. Pa'amim loike, u'pa'amim eino loike. Sometimes he is chayev Malkis, sometimes he is not chayev Malkis. Umi hu ha-loike, who is the person that is chayev Malkis? Lamed min ha'inyin, we learn it out from the context of these psukim. Since the pasuk says further in pasuk dalet, lo sachsam shor bidishoy, you shall not muzzle an ox while it is threshing. So we learn out that the chi of malkis only comes about on something that is similar to the lav of lo sachsam shor bidishoy, which means it has to be a lav shelo nitik lasei, a lav that is not attached to a mitzvah sasei. Because there are positive commandments that only come into effect after one was over a lav, a negative commandment. For example, it is also to leave the meat of a carbon uneaten beyond a certain time. If one violates this iser, there is a mitzvah saseh to burn the leftovers. This is called a lav hanitik laseh, a lav that is attached to an aseh. If one is over the lav of leaving over the meat, then there is an aseh to burn it. The aseh only comes into play after one was over the lav. Such a lav is not punishable with malchus, because we learn from the fact that the Torah placed the topic of Malkis near the lav of Leisachsaim Shor Bedishoy, that Malkis only applies on a lav that is similar to the lav of Leisachsaim. And just like Leisachsaim is not a lav hanitik laseh, because no aseh is attached to this lav, so too does Malkis only apply to a lav that is not nitik laseh. Zok Rashi vi piloi ha-shoifet, and the shoifet will lean him over. Melame, this comes to teach us, she'ein malkin oisoi, that he does not receive malkis, loy oimed, not while he is standing, v'lo yoshev, and not while he is sitting, elamoter, rather only while he is leaning over. Lefonav kidei rishosai, on the front of him we give according to his rishos, ula'achar of kidei shtayim, and on his back we give two parts. Mikan Umru, from here Chazal said, Malkin Oisei Shtei Yodos Mila Acharov, he receives 2/3 of the Malkis on his back, Ushlish and 1/3 Milafonov on the front of his body. And the Kli Yakar is bothered, why was Malkis given in this way, 1/3 on his front and 2/3 on his back? And he answers with the Mishnah in Avos, Paragimel Mishnah Aleph, where Akavya ben Mahalal Omer, Akavya ben Mahalal said, Histakel B'Shloisha Dvorim Vein Atobo Lidei Avera. If you look at three things, you will not come to do an avera. Da me'ayin bosa, know from where you came from. Ula ana ta holech, and where you are going to. V'lifnei mi'ata osed litein din v'cheshvan, and before whom you are destined to give an accounting. From these three things, one of them, me'ayin bosa, from where you came from, preceded man's coming to the world. And the other two, la'ana ta holech, v'lifnei mi'ata osed litein din v'cheshvan, take place after man leaves the world. One who does an avera obviously fails to reflect upon these three things. Therefore, to remind him to reflect upon the thing which took place before his coming into the world, and the two things that will take place after he leaves the world, he receives 1/3 of the malchus on the front part of his body and 2/3 on the back. Zokt Rashi bim mispar, with a shva under the bays. Ve'enoi nokut ba mispar, the Torah does not say ba mispar with a pasach under the bays, which would mean in the number. The number would mean a number which was mentioned somewhere else. And since no number was mentioned anywhere else, how many malkis shall be given? Therefore the Torah says bim mispar with a shva. Limeid, this teaches us shehu davok, that it is attached to the next word. Loimar, to say, bimispar arboim, in the number of 40. Veloy arboim shleimim, it does not mean a complete number of 40. 40 malkis. Elo minyan shu soichem umashlim la arboim, the number that completes the number of 40. The number before the number 40. The hein arboim chaser achas, and that is 40 minus 1, 39 malkis. And actually, a person really deserves to receive 40 malkis, since he was over on the Torah that was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu in 40 days, and therefore his body that was formed in the womb for 40 days should be punished. It is only because of Hashem's mercy that only 39 malkis are meted out to him. Zokt Rashi lo Yosef, you shall not give him more than 39 malkis. Mikan, from here we learn, azara, an extra warning, lemakis chaveroi, for somebody who hits his friend. Not only is somebody who gives another person 40 malkis instead of 39 over this lav, but also somebody who hits his friend is also over this lav of lo Yosef. V'nikla achicha le'enecha, and your brother will be degraded in your eyes. Kol hayom karei rasha, until now the pasuk called him a rasha. In pasuk aleph it says, v'hir shi'u es harasha. In pasuk beis it says, v'hoya im bin hakois harasha. However, mishaloka, once he was hit and received malkis, karo achicha, he is called your brother, you should look at him as your brother because he already received his kapara. Zakrashi lo sachsam shor b'dishoy, you shall not muzzle an ox while it is threshing. And Rashi is bothered why the Torah specifically chooses shor and ox. Zakrashi diber akosu b'hoive, the pasuk is speaking about that which is most common, v'hu adin, and the same is true, l'chol behema chaya v'oif ha'oisim v'melocha shehu b'dvar machol. Any behema chaya or oif that do work with something that is edible, you may not muzzle them while they are working. And then Rashi is bothered, why does the Torah have to say the word shur at all? Let the Torah say lo sachsoim b'dishay, do not muzzle them while they are working. You do not have to say the word shur. Im kein lo manem ashar, if so, why does the Torah say the word shar? Lahoitiyasa Adam, this is coming to exclude Adam from this lav. Even though an Adam has an assay that he may eat while he is working, he is not included in this lav of loisachsoin. Bidishoi, while he is threshing, yocha yichas menu bibachotz, I might think that you may muzzle him when he is outside the threshing area. Talmud loimar, therefore the pasuk says, loisachsoin shar, you shall not muzzle an ox. Mikol makom, in any event, you are not allowed to muzzle him even outside the threshing area. V'lomo nemar dayish, why does the pasuk say threshing, if the halacha is true by any type of work? Lomer lecha, to teach you, ma dayish miyuchad, just like threshing is distinctive. Davar shaloi nigbor malachti lema'aser lechala, it is something that is done before the chiyuv of chala or ma'aser come into effect. V'gedulay min ha'aretz, and it is done on something that is grown from the ground. Af kol kiyotzeboy. So too, anything similar to daish is a type of work that a worker will be allowed to eat from the balabais. Yotza, this comes to exclude hachoylev, one who milks an animal, v'hamagabein, and one who makes cheese, v'hamachabeit, and one who churns milk to make butter, she'en gedulim in ha'oretz, which do not grow from the ground and are not similar to daish. In such instances, the worker will not be able to eat while he is working. And Yotza, this also comes to exclude halosh, one who kneads dough, v'amekatef, and one who smooths the dough, shenigbara melachta lechala, which comes after the gemar melacha for chala, so it is different than daish, and there too the worker will not be able to eat while he is working. Yotza, it also comes to exclude haboidlil b'tmarim uvegroigrois, one who separates dates and dried figs that were attached, shenigbara melachta lemaiser, it is work that is done after the Gemara Malacha for Meiser, after the Chiyuv Meiser came into effect already. Therefore, the worker that does such work will not be able to eat these figs and these dates, because this Malacha is different than the Malacha of Daish, different than the Malacha of threshing. And as we explained earlier, although Daish is talking about the Malacha of an animal, Daish sheds light on the guidelines of when the Aseh that a worker may eat applies. And the pasuk continues with the parsha of Yibum and Chalitza. If a husband dies childless, the Torah states that his widow and brother should marry. If the brother does not wish to go through with the Yibum, there is a process known as Chalitza, which severs the bond between them. The pasuk says, Ki yeshvu achim yachtov, when brothers live together, umeis achad mehem, and one brother dies, uvein ein loy, and this brother that died did not have any children nor any living descendants, Lesia Eshes Hameis Hachutza Leishzar, the wife of the deceased shall not marry outward to another man, but rather Yavamoh Yavai Aleha, her brother-in-law, her Yavam, should come to her, Ulakachaloi Leisha, and take her for a wife, V'yibma, and he should make Yibum on her. And the reason why the Pasuk says, Ki Yeshvu Achim, when two brothers lived, as opposed to saying, Ki Yihiyu Achim, if there were two brothers, is to teach us that the din of Yibum only applies if the two brothers had a yeshiva achas ba'olam. They both lived in the world at the same time. However, if the younger brother was born after the death of the older brother, there was no obligation of Yibum on this younger brother, since he was not in the world at the same time as his older brother. And since the Pasuk says, Yachtov, brothers who are joined together, we learn that the Chiyuv of Yibum only applies on two brothers that are joined together to inherit each other, which are two brothers from one father. However, two brothers from one mother, who do not inherit each other, the law of Yibum does not apply to them. And according to the simple meaning of Pasuk Vav, this is the way the Pasuk reads. V'hoyah ha-bechor ha-shateleid, and it will be the firstborn that will be born to this new couple, this Yavam and Yavama, Yakum al-Shem Ochiv ha-meis. This child that will be born should be named after the deceased brother. V'lo yimach ha-shemay mi-Yisrael, in order that his name will not be erased from Klal Yisrael. According to the simple meaning, the Pasuk seems to be saying that the child that will be born from this couple shall be named after the deceased brother. If the name of the deceased brother was Moshe, you should name the child Moshe. This way, the name of the deceased brother will never be forgotten. However, Rava says, even though all over we say, Ein mikra yotze midei pshutai, which means, although we might make drushes from a Pasuk, however, the simple meaning of the Pasuk still applies. Over here, the simple meaning does not apply at all. There is no din to name the child after the deceased brother. And the pshat in the Pasuk is as follows. Out of all the brothers, who has the first rights to make the Yibum? The Pasuk says, V'hoyah ha-bechor. The first rights go to the oldest brother. Asher Teled. Rashi tells us this comes to exclude an islandess. Yibum only applies to a woman who has the ability to bear children. Asher Teled. She has the ability to bear children. Not an islandess, not a woman who was born sterile. Yakum al shem ochiv ha-meis, he will take the place of his deceased brother. This means he will inherit the deceased brother's estate. And also, if their father had already died, and they did not yet divide the father's estate, the brother that makes the Yibum takes two portions in the Yerusha, his own chelik in his father's estate, and the chelik of his deceased brother. V'lo yimach shemay miYisrael, in order that his name will not be erased from Klal Yisrael, this comes to tell us that there is no chi of Yibum on the wife of the deceased if the deceased was a saris, a sterile person. Because the whole purpose of the Yibum is in order that his name shall not be erased. If he was a saris, his name was erased even before he died, because he was not capable of having any children. Therefore we learn from the words V'lo yimach shemay miYisrael that there is no chi of Yibum on the wife of a saris. That is the way Rava learns this pasuk. And although B'chol HaTorah Kula we say Ein mikra yotze midei pshutai, this pasuk is yotze midei pshutai. Ve'im lo yachpois ha'ish lo kachas es yivimtai, and if the man does not want to marry and make Yibum on his sister-in-law, but also yivimtai ashayro, and his sister-in-law will go up to the gate of Bezdin, El Azakenim to the elders, Ve'amra, and she will say, Me'ein yivami lahokim la'ochiv shem b'Yisrael, my brother-in-law refuses to establish his brother's name in Klal Yisrael. Le'ova yabami, he does not want to be miyabami. V'koru loy zikne iroi, and the elders of the Yavam city will call to him, v'dibiru elav, and they will speak to him, and discuss the situation with him. Sometimes they will try to persuade him to be miyabim, and sometimes they will persuade him to do chalitza. V'omar, if he stands up, v'omar, and he says, b'loshen ha-kodesh, lo'chofasti l'kachta, I do not want to take her. Then v'nigsho yivimtoi elav, his sister-in-law will approach him, le'ene hazakenim, before the eyes of the elders, v'cholza na'aloi, and she will remove his shoe, me'al ragloi, from his foot, v'yoroka b'fonov, and she will spit on the ground before him, v'onsa, and she will answer, v'omra, and she will say, kocho yeyosa le'ish, so is done to a man, asher lo yivne es beis ochiv, who will not build his brother's house. And since the pasuk does not say, asher lo yivono es beis ochiv in the past, but rather it says Asher lo yivne, he will not build his brother's house in the future. We learn out from here that if he does chalitza and he does not build his brother's house, shuv lo yivne, he will never be able to build his brother's house, because once chalitza is done, he can never marry his sister-in-law. Kivan chelei bone, shuv lo yivne. Once he did not build up his brother's house right away, he can never build it in the future. Once chalitza was done, a marriage to his sister-in-law is not allowed. V'nikra shemoi b'Yisrael, and his name will be called in Klal Yisrael, Beis Chalutz Hanal, the house of the one whose shoe was removed. Since everybody present said Chalutz Hanal, Chalutz Hanal, Chalutz Hanal, therefore this house became known as the house of the one whose shoe was removed. And Rabbeinu Bechaye explains the removal of the shoe as follows. Had he performed Yibum, he would have kept his brother alive spiritually. However, by declining this opportunity, it is as if his brother is irrevocably dead. To symbolize that he should now mourn over the loss of his brother, the widow removes his leather shoe, which is a symbol of mourning. Zokt Rashi ki yeshvu achim, and Rashi is bothered, why does it say ki yeshvu achim as opposed to ki yihiyu achim? Zokt Rashi, shehoisa lo yeshiva achas ba'olam, this teaches us that the two brothers have to live together in the world at the same time. Prat, this comes to exclude, le'eshes ochiv sheloi hoya ba'olamoi. There is no chiyuv on a wife of a brother who was not in the world at the same time as the brother who wants to make yibum. If one brother dies and then the other brother is born, there is no chiyuv on this new brother to make yibum on the wife of his deceased brother, since they did not have a yeshiva achas ba'olamoi. Zok Rashi Yachtov, the brothers were joined. Hamiyuchadim benachla, we are talking about brothers who are joined together to inherit each other. Prat la'ochiv minoeim, this comes to exclude two brothers who are brothers from one mother. Since they do not inherit each other, there is no chiv of yibum on one another. Uven ein loy, and there are no children. And Rashi tells us that since it says ein aleph yud nun, it does not spell ein chaser without a yud, we darsh in ein as if it says ayin, which is spelled ayin yud nun, because an aleph and an ayin can be interchangeable. Ayin olav, investigate into this family and make sure there are no living descendants. Ben, whether he has a son, oy bas, or a daughter, oy ben haben, or the son of a son, oy bas haben, or the daughter of a son, oy ben habas, or the son of a daughter, oy bas habas, or the daughter of a daughter. Because as long as there is a living descendant, there is no chi of yibum. V'hoya habachar, Zok Rashi gadol ha'achim hu miyavim oisa. The oldest brother has the schus to make the yibum first. Asher Teled, who is capable of giving birth, Prat la'ilanis, this comes to exclude an Isha who is an ilanis, She'enu yaledes, who cannot give birth. There is no chiv yibum on an Isha that cannot give birth. The Isha has to be Asher Teled, capable of giving birth. Yokum al shem ochiv hameis, he will take the place of his deceased brother. Zeh she'yibum es ishtoi, the one that is miyabim his wife, Yitol nachalas hameis b'nichse ovim. He will take the portion of Yerusha of his deceased brother in the inheritance of his father. If the father died first, and then the brother died, the brother that makes Yibum will not only take his chelik in his father's inheritance, but also the chelik of his dead brother. V'lo yimachi shemoi, in order that his name will not be erased. Prat le'esha saris, this comes to exclude that there is no Yibum on the wife of a saris. Sheshmoi machoi, because his name was already erased even before he died, since he was not capable of having children. Therefore, there is no chiv yibum on the wife of a saris. And the sister-in-law will go hashara to the gate. Kitargumai, like Targum says, l'sra besdina, to the gate of Besdin. And then va'omad, the brother-in-law will stand up, ba'amida, he must stand, va'omar b'loshan ha'kodesh, and he will say in loshan ha'kodesh, va'afi dvorel b'loshan ha'kodesh, and her words must also be in loshan ha'kodesh, v'yorka b'fonov al gabi ha'karka, and she will spit in front of him on the ground before him, and she will say, so shall be done to a man, asher lo yivne es beis achim. Mikan, from here we learn, l'misha cholat, once somebody gives chalitza, shelo yachsa v'yibem, that he cannot go and make yibum afterwards. The loiksev asher lo bono, it does not say in the past tense, asher lo bono, that he did not build. Elo, rather, what does it say? Asher lo yivne, who will not build in the future. And we darshin, kivan shelo bono, since he did not build in the past, shuv lo yivne, he may never build in the future. Once he makes chalitza, he cannot do yibum. And the pasuk continues with the penalty of boishes. If a woman tries to help her husband by embarrassing the other person, she must pay a financial penalty to the victim. And the Or HaChaim explains, if the woman had no other choice and her husband was in mortal danger, she would have been justified in doing anything necessary to save him. This penalty applies only if what she did was uncalled for. And this is the source of the penalty of boishes and the other four payments for damages, nezek, damage, tsar, pain, ripoy, doctor bills, and sheves, unemployment, were all stated earlier in Parshas Mishpatim. And the pasuk says, ki yinotzu anoshim yachtov, if two men are quarreling with each other, ish va'achiv, a man and his brother, v'karva eishes ha'echad, and the wife of one of them will approach, lahatzil es ishoch miyad makeu, to save her husband from the one who is hitting him, v'sholcha yoda, and she will stretch out her hand, v'chazika, and grab a hold of, v'mavushav, his private parts, and she will embarrass him, v'katzoiso es kapo, and you shall cut off her hand, which means that she shall pay the penalty of boishes. Lesochos einecho, your eyes shall not have mercy on her. Zokt Rashi ki yinotzu anoshim, if two people are quarreling, soifon, their end will be lavoi li de makois, they will come to blows. K'mo shenema, like the pasuk says, miyad makehu, she tries to save him from the person who is hitting him. Ein sholom yoytze mitoichi de matzus, a peaceful solution never comes out from a dispute. Do not think that if two people dispute and quarrel, they will be able to settle it on their own and bring clarity to the situation. That is not what typically happens. A dispute usually ends with blows. The ayin in Rashi Perik Chafei Pasuk Aleph, where Rashi says something very similar to this Rashi. Zok Rashi v'katzoiso es kapo, and you shall cut off her hand. This means mamon, she must pay money. The mei boishtoi, the value of the embarrassment. We evaluate how much money this person would want in order to be embarrassed like this, and that is the amount that she must give to him. Hakol lefi ha-mevayesh va-misbayesh. It all depends on who is the person who is doing the embarrassing and who is the person that was embarrassed. The value of the embarrassment is determined by the status of those involved. The more honored the victim, the greater the value of the embarrassment. The more honored the one who commits the act of embarrassing, the less the value of the embarrassment. Maybe it means that you actually cut off her hand. It says over here in Pasuk Yud Beis, Loisochos. V'nemar lahalon. And it says earlier, by the parasha of Edom Zoymimin, Loisochos. Ma lahalon momoin. Just like over there by Edom Zoymimin, it means that they have to pay money. Afkan momoin. So to over here, it means that the Isha must pay the money of Boishes. And the Pasuk continues, Layia lecha bekischa, there shall not be in your pouch, even va'oven, two stone weights, gedola, one being larger, uketana, and one being smaller. You shall not have two weights, both saying 1 pound, where one is more than a pound, and one is less than a pound. And you use the one more than a pound when you want to take something, this way you will receive more than a pound. And when you give something to somebody else, you use the weight which is less than a pound. This way you fool the person into thinking that he is getting a pound. In the meantime, he is getting less than a pound. And similarly, lo yiyeh lecha beveischa, you shall not have in your house, eifa ve'eifa, two measures of an eifa, gedola uktana, one being large and one being small. But rather, even shlemo v'tzedek, a perfect and honest weight, yiyeh there shall be to you, eifa shlemo v'tzedek yiyeh, a perfect and honest eifa there shall be to you, lema'an ya'arichu yomecha, in order that your days will be prolonged, al ho'adoma asher Hashem lekecha noisin loch, on the land that Hashem your God is giving you. Kisayavas Hashem lekecha kol oisei eile, because it is an abomination to Hashem your God, anybody who does these things, kol oisei ovel, anybody who acts dishonestly. Zokt Rashi even va'oven, mishkoilois, these are referring to stone weights. Gedola uktana, one large and one small. Gedola kishemekacheshes es aktana, when the large one contradicts the smaller one. Shaloyehe noitel begedola umachse begetana, he should not take with the larger weight, the one that says a pound and is really more. Umachse and return begetana with the weight that says a pound and is really less. Zok Rashi lo yiyeh lecha, there shall not be to you. Why does it say lecha? Im osisa kein, if you do this and you act dishonestly, lo yiyeh lecha klum, you will not be left with anything. It will bring you to poverty. Zok Rashi even shlemo vatzedek yiyeh lecha, and over there too it says yiyeh lecha, it should be to you. Im osisa kein, if you do this and you have honest weights,
Yilcha harbe, then you will have very much, you will become wealthy. And the pasuk continues with the parsha of Amalek. And Rashi tells us what the connection is between dishonest weights and the attack of Amalek. Because one who has dishonest weights must fear that the enemy will attack him. As Be'er Basodeh explains, as long as Klal Yisrael acts with honesty, they do not have to worry about Amalek. However, when they start to act deceivingly, Amalek remembers how Yaakov deceived their ancestor Esav, and they want revenge. And the Pasuk says, Zachar, remember, Eis asher osalecha Amalek, what Amalek did to you, Baderech, on the road, B'tseisechem Mitzrayim, when you went out of Mitzrayim. Asher karucha Baderech. And Rashi tells us three pshatim in the word karucha. Firstly, it comes from the word mikre, to happen. Amalek happened upon you. He attacked you by surprise. Secondly, it comes from the word balkeri. Amalek would be metame Klal Yisrael through homosexual relations. And the third pshat is, karucha comes from the word kar, cold. Klal Yisrael was compared to a boiling bath, who no one wanted to start up with. However, if one person jumps into the bath, he cools it off for everybody else. So too did Amalek cool off everyone's fear by being the first to attack Klal Yisrael. So Asher Korcho Baderech means he happened upon you on the road, he was metame you with Mishkav Zohar on the road, and he cooled you off on the road. Vayizane Becho, and he hit you with a Maka Zonov, a blow to the tail, which means that the people from Amalek would cut off Klal Yisrael's Mila and throw it upward toward Hashem, as if to say to Hashem, how has your mitzvah of Mila helped Klal Yisrael? And this happened to Kol HaNechasholim Acharecho, all your weak ones, the ones that sinned to you and were kicked out of the Anon, and they were left Acharecha behind you outside the Anon. And this is referring to Shevet Dan, who worshipped Avodah Zarah in the Midbar, and they were therefore kicked out of the Amad Anon and attacked by Amalek, who would cut off their Mila by hitting them a Makas Zonov. And Amalek attacked you, Ve'ato, when you were Oyef, faint from thirst, because you came to Refidim and you did not find any water, and then Amalek attacked you, V'yogeya, and tired from the traveling. V'lo yore Elohim, and Amalek did not fear Hashem, and they were not afraid to attack Klal Yisrael. V'hoya, and it will be, B'honiach Hashem lekecho lecho mikol oyevecho, when Hashem will give you rest from all your enemies, misaviv, from around you, ba'oretz asher Hashem lekecho noisin lecho nachalo, in the land that Hashem will give you as an inheritance, l'rishta, to take possession of, timche ezecher Amalek, you shall wipe out the remembrance of Amalek, mitachas hashamoyim, from underneath the heavens, loy tishkach, you shall not forget. And Rashi tells us, wiping out the remembrance of Amalek means killing men, women, and children, and also all their animals. Zok Rashi Pasuk Yud Zayin, Zohar Eis Asher Oslecho Amalek, and Rashi is bothered, what is the connection between dishonest weights and the attacking of Amalek? Im Shokarta, B'midos Uv'mishkolois, if you are untruthful with measurements and weights, have a doyeg migiwuri ha'oyev. Then you must worry about the enemy being incited against you. Shenema, like the pasuk says in Mishle, moizne mirmo tayavas Hashem, dishonest weights are an abomination to Hashem. Uksiv basrei, and the pasuk says afterwards, ba zodoin, the rosho will come, v'yavoy koloin, and embarrassment will come. So we see that if one has dishonest weights, ba zodoin, the rosho and the enemy will come. Zok Rashi asher korucha baderech, Lashon Mikra. According to the first pshat, it means it is a Lashon of happening. Amalek happened upon you on the way, they attacked you suddenly. Davar Acher, another pshat, Lashon Keri v'tumo. It is a Lashon of a Balkeri and a Tumo. Shehoyo mitamon b'mishkav Zohar, because Amalek would be metame Klal Yisrael with homosexual relations. Davar Acher, a third pshat, Lashon Kar v'choyim. The word Keri comes from the word Kar v'choyim. Kar means cold, choyim means hot. So karcha means they made you cold. Sinonecho v'hifshircho miritzicho secho. They cooled you down from your heat. Shehoyu kol ha'umais yureim li'lochim b'chem. Because all nations were afraid to fight with you. Uvozeh, and this nation came, v'hischil, and they started, v'herem mokim la'cherim, and they showed other people that there is nothing to fear. Moshel ambati roisachas, this can be compared to a boiling bath, she'ein kol beryo yechol le'ri b'secho, which no person can go into. Bo ben Belial Echod, one wild man comes, Kofas v'yorod l'seicha, and he jumped and went inside of it. Afa pishe nichveh, even though he got burnt, Hikra oisa b'fnei acherim, he cooled it off for other people. So too Amalek, who jumped into the hot bath, even though they got burnt, they cooled it off for other people, and other nations were not as afraid to attack Klal Yisrael. Zok Rashi v'yizanei b'cho, maka zonov, they hit you with a blow to the tail, which means choytech milois, they cut off your bris milo, v'zorei klape mala, and they threw it upward, as if to say to Hashem, how has your mitzvah of milah helped Klal Yisrael? And who was this done to? Kol ha-necha-sholem acharecho, all the ones who were weak behind you. Chesrei koyach, the ones who were weak, machmas chetom, because of their avera, shehoya ha-onon polton, which the onon spit them out. And like Rashi tells us in Sefer Yecheskel, Perek Tezayin, Posuk Tezvav, and also in the Yonisim ben Uziel over here, that this was Shevet Dan, who worshipped Avodah Zarah in the Midbar and were spit out of the Amon Onon. And I once heard a hint to this, a remez, from the word HaNechasholim, because if you take the first letter of HaNechasholim and the last three letters, that spells the word Milo. The remaining middle letters spell the word Nochosh, a snake. In Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov said to Dan, Yehi Dan Nochosh Alei Derech, Dan will be like a snake on the road. So we see from the word HaNechasholim that the Nochosh, Shevet Dan, will be the ones whose Mila will be cut off. Zok Rashi v'ata oyef yogea, oyef batzoma, you were faint from thirst, tichsiv, because the pasuk says in Parshas Bishalach, vayitzma shom ha'om lamayim, when Klal Yisrael came to Rephidim, they thirsted for water, uksiv acharov, and it says immediately after that, vayovay Amalek, and Amalek came. V'yogea baderech, and you were tired from traveling, v'layore Amalek elokim, and Amalek was not afraid of Hashem, milahoralecha, from doing bad to you. Timche, you shall wipe out Ezechar Amalek, the remembrance of Amalek, Me'ish Vad Isha, from men to women, Me'oilel Vad Yoneg, from infants to nursing children, Mishor Vad Tzeh, from oxen to sheep. Shaloyehe Shem Amalek Nizkar, the name of Amalek shall not be mentioned, Afilu al HaBehema, even on an animal. Loimar, to say, Behema Zu Mishel Amalek Hoysa, this Behema used to belong to Amalek. And the Mepharshim ask, why does the pasuk say Zohar Eis Asher Oso Lecho Amalek? Remember what Amalek did to you, Lecho in the singular. Why doesn't it say Asher Oso Lochem, what he did to all of you, in the plural? And Rab Simcha Bunim Mipishischa answers that Amalek attacked Klal Yisrael when they encamped in Rephidim. The word Rephidim is related to the word Pirun, separation. When the Jewish people are divided, that is when Amalek can creep in. Therefore the Torah says, in the singular, Zohar, remember what Amalek did lecha to you in the singular, to stress that Amalek attacked when there was division and when everyone was concerned only about himself. And Haman, who was a descendant of Amalek, learned this lesson from his ancestors. The Sfas Emes notes that Haman described to Achashverosh his desire to destroy the Jewish nation as a nation who is mefuzar u'mefarad. Literally, he described the Jews as a people who are scattered and dispersed around the world. But this may be also understood as a nation of people who are separated from one another and lack in unity. The Shlach HaKadosh writes that Esther recognized the true source of Haman's power and immediately began efforts to unify the nation, instructing Klal Yisrael, Lech kinoises kol ha-Yehudim, go gather all the Jews together, not just physically, but unite them as a nation. And that is why we say in the Shoshanis Yaakov, the Jewish nation was glad and cheerful when they saw Yachad, they saw that Klal Yisrael had Achdus, because they knew that through Achdus, Haman, Achashverosh, and Amalek will have no power against them.